Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Pop Culture Stars. I hope everybody's doing well tonight. It's raining down here in beautiful sunny Myrtle Beach. I guess it's not really sunny. Pop Show, how are you doing tonight? Hello, hello. Papa Stro, how are you doing tonight?
Let's try this again. How you doing?
Papa Stro, I'm doing great for some reason. Didn't want to let you go, but we're on now. And
hello?
Hello, hello. Is that Todd with us tonight? Maybe not.
Maybe. Yeah, hello?
Maybe technical difficulty.
You're fading in and out.
Yeah. Hey. All right. Well, do we have Dave? Is that Dave with us?
Yes, sir. Can you guys hear me all right?
How are you?
I can hear Dave. John's like in and out.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going outside. Is this? Am I in now?
You can hear so far.
Yeah, good. No, we had a major electrical storm down here in Myrtle Beach. It's interesting. It knocked out all of the street lights, but everything else is on.
Oh wow!
And so it's the craziest thing we've ever seen. And I was surprised that the old internet was working. But anyway, it's good to have you guys back with us tonight. And I'm sure Todd will be with us here in just a second. But yeah, it was crazy. So anyway, Papa Stro, how has your week been? What have you been up to?
Well, you know, things are somewhat getting back to normal here. Just basically, I got some new projects here I'm working on, getting right for the next few months and for the new year for that matter. So things are slowly getting back in the upswing. This weekend I'm going to be at the Grand Strand Comic Con in Merle's Inlet. Why I say Mullets? Merle's Inlet, South Carolina. Must have the 80s on my brain for some reason. Merle's Inlet, South Carolina, the Inlet Square Mall, Saturday and Sunday. I'm going to be doing a panel, Q&A panel, with former tag team partner and NWA world champ Tommy Wildfire Rich. There is looking forward to catching up with him and taking questions from the fans and seeing everybody there. So it should be a good time. Grand Strand Comic Con MB, M as in Mike, B as in Boy .com is where you can find out more ticket info, how you can be part of it. So things are rolling. Just glad to fall here and glad Halloween's over with and Papa Ween's over with. So just start thinking about Thanksgiving and Christmas.
And we'll start thinking about Papa Ween for 2019 now.
Fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. So Dave, what have you been up to this week?
Just normal working myself to death and working on some art on the side, a little therapeutic stuff. Other than that, just trying to keep things on track. Much like Stro just said, you know, get to the festivities and the copious amount of chocolate comes with Halloween, and then going into the holiday season, and I will be damned if I didn't hear somebody playing Christmas carols today. And I'm like, guys, let's come on.
16% of your year is going to have Christmas carols today. You know how that is. Oh, my goodness. So, Dave might have disappeared on us. I'm right back, Thomas. Anyway, we've had quite some electrical activity now, and I would doubt that it's the internet. But anyway, this morning I was on Banana Jack's show, River Talk, conference. We talked about the upcoming Christmas festival there in Camden, which is going to be a and so it was great seeing Banana Jack, and he, of course, invited you and I to come back anytime we want to his show down at the bottom.
Hey, guys, I'm back. If you could hear me, I'm hearing some rumbling.
Oh,
don't know if you can hear me or not.
Fantastic. Dave is back.
Thank goodness Dave is back. But yeah, apparently we've got some serious electrical activity right now going on, and it's affecting us. But we're strong. The pop culture star is absolutely stronger than that. But anyway, just glad that we're all here together. And I got a phone call.
Fester ain't playing. Uncle Fester ain't playing with electrical outlets again, is he? Uncle Fester.
I think he may be. Because I barely got a phone call from our guests that they were having electrical storms problems up in Fayetteville and in Raleigh, and they were having a hard time actually getting on the internet. So it's the three of us doing this thing. But that's all right. We got a lot of great things to talk about. I for one am looking forward to Christmas. We got a lot of great things planned. We got the Charles Festival coming up. That's going to be great. I'm going to be talking to Papa Stroster after the show about maybe doing for that wonderful Christmas carol. So we're going to see if we can't get up a little version for Papa Stroster to do if he would do that for us, and I think that would be good. And so I guess what we'll do, since it's the three of us, and as I said, our boys Ford Circle, this is the second time they have truly had problems. I looked real quickly, and there were some massive storms going on in dear old Raleigh and in Fayetteville where they are. So, we'll excuse them now. And so, Papa Stroh, what have you got up over the Christmas holidays? It looks like Todd was able to finally get to it with all this electrical nonsense and everything. But so what have you got going on here over Christmas? I mean, I know you've got a lot of things. You've got wrestling. You've got all kinds of stuff going on. So what are your plans for Christmas holidays? Are you going anywhere special?
Well, that's still debatable, pretty much up in the air. There's a few options been thrown at me, but I'm just kind of deciding which which route to go. But I know Christmas Comic-Con in Charlotte area, Concord. For the Charlotte Comic Con at the Embassy Suites in the Concord. December. But other than that, things are a lot of things are up in the air, but I'm just kind of deciding which direction to go and trying to solidify some few things for December. Hopefully I can do it within this month, November, so we'll see.
that'll be good. And so we're looking forward to that. I will be at Charlotte Comic Con as well. Dave, what have you got going on here over the you must have some rumbling and electrical storms up where you are.
Yeah, the wind is really picking up. Not having any rain or anything like that, but the wind is really getting ugly. I don't know if you guys are getting any of that that noise, and if you do, let me know, and I'll have to, for the sake of the show, turn around or go inside or something like that. But the wind is really whistling, so I got a feeling we're probably getting the front side of what you experienced down there. And I'm sure the overnight will be pretty interesting. So, but fantastic evening for smoking a cigar. I should have had one out here. I mean, these are the kind of evenings you look forward to where it's nice, cool breeze, no bugs, you know, and me, I'm sitting inside, you know, doing stuff, and I didn't even realize I could have been out here burning one and enjoying the evening. But nevertheless, yeah, for the holidays, in all likelihood, I'll probably go over there to my folks for the Thanksgiving feast. And it's always fun to go over there and pick out my folks and watch the football games, have a couple beers with Dad and everything. And it's good gathering time. And then, of course, it's the holiday madness of the retail business. But got the grandkids coming down for Christmas, and that is always a blessing and a lot of fun because it's usually the only time of year I get to see them. And two of them are 13. Let's see, I got two 13s, a 7 and a 5 now. So it's every year they come back and they're that much taller and that much more mature. And I tell you, it's it's something else. But they're a fantastic bunch. Always look forward to seeing them. So really looking forward to Christmas this year. Got a lot of things going in my direction that haven't been quite going that way in the last couple of years. So looking forward to having a legit Christmas and just a good, blessed time, if you understand my meaning when I say that.
Absolutely. Well, we're also looking forward to up there. There's a very special thing that happens the weekend of December 14th, 15th, 16th, and 17th, and that is the Jingle Bell Market in Florence, South Carolina. And hopefully I'll shoot Papa Show after the show. It looks like we've got an invitation to Papa Show to come join us there in Florence. And Papa Show, I know Florence is a place you've done a lot of wrestling, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. And not only that, you know, the conventions there I've gone to have been really cool. I mean, just going to that town in general. I mean, Florence is such a great town with some great people. So I really always enjoy my ventures to Florence.
Absolutely. And I'll ask you, Stro, can you remember, because you've done a lot of wrestling a lot of places, can you remember any of the matches that you had? And that's the big one, and I'm sure you had a bone or two or a pop of your blood something in the City Center. Can you remember the great times you had down there?
Oh, yeah. I've had quite a few great matches down that way. No one particular had a match I was just talking about the other day was with Tony Atlas when I was had a feud with him going on in the Mid-Atlantic area, and we had some really great matches over the Mid-Atlantic territory. So yeah, that's great. All these great matches, great memories, and just all around great town. I know Strong likes to go back to the wrestling every time he talks about me for some reason, but
sorry.
I try to venture out and he brings me back to the wrestling. So just when you thought you were out, they pull you back in, right? But
exactly right. Well, you know, it's funny. We were talking about wrestling this morning a little bit, and Banana Jack asked me a question. I told him how we were going to have you there at the festival and everything, and the first thing that he then asked me was, so now, John, how long has it been since you were announcing for the Italian Stallion at the PWF? And I just flipped right back into PWF mode. I'm going to tell you what, wrestling will keep you. It really will. It's a great institution, and it is so good we've got that and everything. Hey, and I guess I've never asked this question. Have you ever been involved in wrestling in any way, shape, or form?
No, as a matter of fact, I was supposed to do a little announcing, believe it or not, a couple of years ago for some local stuff that they had here in Onslow County, but never kind of materialized. So, yeah, that was a few years ago. Right around 2005, 6, 7 in that ballpark. But, yeah, it never came to be. But, no, I've between the bar fights and everything else that I've been through, I don't need to go in there and intentionally get beat up. I could do it on my own by accident.
Exactly. Well, Papa Strode, now I'm going to move away from wrestling. And I want to ask you a question.
No, you don't have to, but I was just making a joke.
I'd love to. There's a funny story that always sticks with me, and I don't think we've talked about it here on Pop Culture Stars. When you were working on a movie, weren't you marooned on an island one time?
Oh, yeah. How could I forget that one? That was Koss Island. It was a story about a killer and a vampire living on this island, and they had this like big frat party. Which, yeah, a bunch of college kids and a diverse motley crew, a plethora, if you will, as Dave Atwood would say, of characters and personalities, from a couple of wrestlers and Lodi and I to bikers from Sweden to make a part of some Pittsburgh to college kids to God knows what. And we were stranded on that island. The ferry guy forgot to bring us back from the mainland. So it's just like a scene out of Survivor. We had tiki lamps going on, sand dunes blowing in our face, praying it wouldn't rain, had generators running the cameras, right? And the guy who was supposed to bring the catering only brought us like couple pieces of chicken from Walmart and some celery. And it was crazy. Yeah, but you had some of the cast in the sand dunes making out behind the sand dunes. You had many parties here, there in the island, and while we were waiting for the scenes, and it was just crazy. Oh my God! I know, right before I get to the island, right, I'm getting off the boat, and the guy steering the boat, he starts moving the boat, right, and I took a bump off the boat into the water, right. It was hilarious. So I had wet jeans going to the island, right, and then you know, the fight scene with Lodi and myself taking on the bikers, and you know, we're just like cleaning the house. It was just out of an action movie. You know, I remember some guy, he had like those like forms, those biker forms with the spikes on them, right? He goes to form me, right? I just pick him up in the air and give him a spine buster on one of the sand dunes. Lodi decks one of them. I literally backdrop one of them. They go flying in the air and hit on top of another sand dune. It was just crazy, but. Yeah, and then the ferry guy didn't come back to pick us the next morning. We all looked like the savages from Kong Skull Island with the makeup and get the sand on our face. And I had a gig that night, a wrestling show that night. So I'm rushing, I'm hauling it to the mainland, right? Well, as fast as we can with the boat, right? And they were slow as a tortoise to get there. And I'm watching, and I get in the room, and I'm washing all that sand off me, and I'm hauling it to the town. Even when I got to the town, I still had sand all over me from being marooned on that island all night.
Oh.
So, yeah, it was what a weekend.
I bet you were in course of character for that match. I bet it really hurt to get a body slam.
The only thing was all that sand was irritating me, right? I still had sand in my boots and my gear that I, you know, I mean, even without shower and everything, I still had sand all over me from being on that island. So it was just crazy.
Yeah. Well, we all get into interesting and fun predicaments, especially when
I did a funny promo with the director. We're all delirious, no sleep, just, you know, in between sets, takes of the scenes. And I did a funny impersonation of Dusty Rhodes, right? And finally, one director started to be cute to, like, tape one of the impersonations I did. So he taped it. It's on YouTube. You can check it out. Just type in Strode, Dusty Rhodes impersonation. You'll see it. It's hilarious.
Well,
but that was
I'll,
on set
I'll,
of that
I'll,
movie,
I'll
Cost
do-
Island.
Yeah, I'll do that right after the show. That really does sound pretty cool. Now, all right, you had threatened you were getting ready to go see the new Halloween. Did you finally get to go see it?
Not yet. I've heard mixed reviews about it, but I'm definitely eventually want to check it out because I was a big fan of the original, of course, as many others, and I heard this was kind of based right off of the original rather than off all the zillions of sequels that, you know, so many horror flicks have had between them, Nightmare on Elm Street and Friday the 13th and all. But you know, seeing that Jamie Lee Curtis back was really cool, and the reignite interview with Mike Myers. Yeah, I definitely want to check out when I get a chance.
Yeah.
Well, I went to see it Monday.
Hello, Dave. Helen.
And y'all could form your own opinion. I had to raid all the first aid kits for the smelling salts.
Really?
Yeah. But I did find out the movie theater had vanilla root beer there, which is pretty damn good. But,
awesome.
Yeah. Vanilla root beer, half a bag of butter and popcorn wasn't all that bad. But, yeah, it's kind of funny. I don't want to put this. First off, I don't scare. I don't mean to say that with a machismo, you know, air about me. It's just I don't. I don't know how many times I've seen these movies, and I'm just standing there going, Jesus, guys, you know, burn them, run them over, you know. And I'm always the double tap guy. You'll hear me all the time. Shoot twice. One to put them, one to slow them down, one to put them out. So, you know, you get Jason or Freddy or any of these cats on the ground, and, you know, if you pull the cap out of a Mossberg, you could put 10 rounds in the thing. So you shoot them, put them down, you take a second one to put them out, and then you take the other 8, if you've done all that maintenance to your shotgun, and you just unload from the neck up until there's nothing there. That mm-hmm. is the logical way to take care of these things, these people, you know, I don't care what they are. So I'm watching this, and, you know, everybody's tripping. When you hear an odd noise and you know people are getting killed in your neighborhood, don't go investigate. Get the hell out of there. So I'm watching these things, and I'm kind of going, And story-wise, the story was not bad. I mean, it was kind of nifty the way they kind of reignited the flame, so to speak. I mean, I thought the story was pretty well good to go, but when it comes down to anything that had my heart racing or anything, nah, it wasn't there. And you know, the good news is that it lacked the copious amount of gore that you see in a lot of horror flicks now. They spared that, which is good, because I feel like that's overkill in a lot of these movies now. But I don't know, like I said, there was just no moments in that movie where your heart was racing, at least for me. And, you know, just wasn't there for me. It's worth a watch if you got a, you know, 90 minutes to spare. But
yeah.
I'd kick back and wait for Netflix or Redbox or something on that one, to be honest with you.
Well, you mentioned something.
I wanted to
comment on this. If I saw Michael really come walking toward me, I know how to dial 911 really fast.
Right.
And I've got it running with me, and I think I could probably get the cops over there pretty quickly. And I think that is one problem that some of these movies have. Is like, you know, if you're in a haunted house and you got some ghost that looks just like something you don't want to deal with, dial 911. I mean, get the cops over there. I mean, the cops will do something. Cops will scare it away or whatever. But and then second of all, Dave, I don't want to know anything about how it ended, but I've got a question. Did we ever see the face of Michael Myers? Now, that won't change the way that...
Not a good... not like a portrait. Not like a, you know, like you got hanging up in the White House. It was kind of a side view, you know, bottom third of the face type thing. Full shots from behind, of course. You know, you got the full skull going on, but yeah, you never actually get to see eyes, nose, mouth all at the same time. As a matter of fact, I don't think you see anything much more than nose down, if I remember correctly. So,
was he fairly wrinkled? Because that boy would be pretty old by now.
No, I mean, he actually looked, I hate like hell to say it, but he kind of looked like me from the nose down. He, you know, had the salt pepper beard and everything. So, I'm more partial to Hannibal Lecter than I would be him anyway. So, I mean, I'd totally rule myself out. The way he does all his killings, way too much work. Hannibal Lecter just makes people kill themselves, and then he just cleans up the rest, you know. But, yeah, like I said, I'm not going to tell anybody it was a bad movie. It just was not if you're there for suspense or the one that makes you the jump scare fad that's going about now. Which I'm not a party to either, because anybody can go boo. It doesn't take a whole lot of creativity. So the jump scare things are up there with the gore in my book. But mm-hmm. it just, like I said, it just lacked those moments where you're like, oh God, what's going to happen? And, you know, I could think of a lot of films that were non-horror films that, put me at the edge of my seat. A good example is Casino. We've all seen Casino. And when they take Joe Pesci and his brother out in that cornfield and bury him alive after, you know, putting a couple licks out of him with the ball bat, you know, the first time I saw that movie and I saw that scene, I was like, oh, damn. You know what I mean? It was one of those ones where your heart was beating in your chest and you're just kind of shaking your head like, God, did I just see that? You didn't have any of those moments in that movie. And it's unfortunate because I thought it had a fighting shot at, you know, at least ways kind of, you know, getting the adrenaline pump. But it just wasn't quite there for me. So,
well,
I wouldn't give it a thumbs down. I would give it the finger.
Okay. I guess I got another question. Once Michael Myers escaped, why didn't the police come out and look for him in Halloween 1? I mean, I believe.
Well, they did tie it in. Yeah, they did tie Donald Pleasance into it. You know, obviously you can't have the guy in it now because he's passed away, but they did tie his character into the storyline. And then I'll give that. The storytelling side, I thought he did real good, where they made it, put it to you this way, it was almost as if they went to the retirement home, and Michael Myers says, okay, you know, let me get back in action now. So, I mean, they didn't deny any of the previous stuff. As a matter of fact, they really twisted it around good to where it marries up with the first ones very well. But, you know, like I said, from a storytelling aspect, I thought it was good. But from a, you know, a thriller, adrenaline rusher, wasn't there.
Gotcha. Well, I'm going to go try to see it, Papa Sir. I can't wait for us to weigh in on it when we do. I'm just looking for the cell phone and the 911 call myself. But, I mean, it's something else. It really is. Now, I guess if we've talked about this movie being a little bit on the mediocre side, I'm sure we've all, you know, one thing we never talk about is what's the worst film that we have ever seen, whether it's unintentionally funny or just awful.
Into the Woods. It was terrible. Into the Woods was minutes of my time I'll never get back. My God. It was the worst. They didn't tell us before we got in the theater that it was everybody's going to be singing throughout the whole freaking film. And I wanted to, like, oh, God. You just, Jack and the Beanstalk. Oh, jeez. Little Red Riding Hood. God Almighty. And Johnny Depp, you know, that's where they're plugging. Johnny Depp's in this movie, but he was in there like every bit of a minute before he was taken out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the singing just drove on your freaking nerves. You just want to, like, I couldn't wait to get out of the theater. I was looking at a buddy of mine, his daughter, and my buddy was like, he was like, oh my God. And his daughter was laughing at him so much. It was sweet Jesus, help us.
So she was having a good time, huh?
It ruined all my childhood fairy tales and folklores and storytelling. I mean, it just ruined my old childhood. Just got stomped on by that crappy film. Oh, jeez. It was the drizzling. It was drizzling. You know what?
Yeah. Well, that's a good one. Dave, what's yours?
Oh, Oh, I can sit here all night and rattle off ones that come to mind that, you know, we somehow or another took our valuable time to actually watch, or got, you know, snookered into it by a trailer or something like that. Because I've fallen victim to that several times where I'm like, God, this trailer looks great. And you know, the good parts are actually in the trailer, and that's it. Any Adam Sandler movie after Big Daddy was a perfect example where you're watching it. You're just going, man, it is so bad that I have to watch this just to appreciate how bad it could possibly be. And there's a handful of them, though, that I remember just the other night. Now I remember which one it was. The new Christian, well, it's not new. It came out in 2017. The Hostiles with Christian Bale in it. It's the frontier where he's like the part of the cavalry, and he's got to escort these three fugitive Native Americans back to their homeland and everything. And you know me, okay. I'm a sucker for the frontier stuff. Holy crap. I mean, that movie was so bad. And, you know, I'm just shaking my head going, damn, how did they – here I am, a guy with three published novels that everybody tells me, you know, hey, you know, man, you twisted my mind up. Can't believe, you know, love the stuff. When's the next book coming? Yada, yada, yada. And in the meantime, I can't get a fair shake. But Christian Bale puts out some dirty diaper of a movie like this. My God.
Wow.
I mean, it was incredibly bad. And and if I recall, Tommy Lee Jones had a movie not long ago, and I'm a big Tommy Lee Jones guy. I think he's great. But he had a Western not long ago, and it was Christ awful. And that was like a 3-hour movie. You know what I mean? But you ever find yourself when you're watching a bad movie where you can't stop watching it because you're really wondering if it gets I'll tell you another one that comes to mind, okay? You guys, we've talked about it on here a million times, how Christopher Reeve still was the best Superman, okay? Hands down to me. All right, so I bought a collector's box set years ago for like $15. I got all 4 Superman movies in the collector set, right? You know, metal box, the whole 9 yards. I mean, if you're a Superman fan, it's fantastic. Just the nostalgic part of it, you know. Well, sit down, watch the first one. And I'm getting the old feeling, you know what I mean? Yeah, Otisburg, sorry, Miss Luthor. You know, I'm getting the old magic. But then I watch the second one. And, you know, you're getting the Terrence Stamp now Neo before Zod, you know? And I'm like, yes. So I remember the third one being weak. That was the one with Richard Pryor. And if you recall back in those days, every movie had to have Richard Pryor in it because they thought Richard Pryor was the funniest guy on the planet. And though he is a funny comedian, he was not an actor. And Richard Pryor was funny doing stand-up. He's not funny when people are making the lines for him, if you understand my meaning. You know what I mean? And so Superman 3, it was tough to get through. Well, I had never seen Superman 4. As big of a fan as I was, never seen Superman 4. So here I am going, okay, can you get through Superman 3? You watch Superman 4. You got to watch 3 because you got to be a man about it. You got to watch it all the way through. You got to take the good and the bad. You know, watch 3.
Yep.
Bite down on that belt. And
I don't know. The blonde in Superman 3 was hot.
Yeah, I can't remember who that was. I know you're talking about, though.
I was like, Superman, you go, boy.
Yeah. Because Valerie Perrine was the one in the first one that played Miss Tessmacher, and she was
high
school crush. Yeah.
Unreal.
Well, you take that Superman 4, and Gene Hackman's in it, Christopher Reeve's in it, and all the old players are back. But it looked as if, I mean, the movie was so bad, and it was like Nuclear Man was the bad guy. And he looked kind of like a... he looked like almost like Vince Neil and He-Man humped and had a kid. And it was just awful, you know. And the damnest thing about it is they had Gene Hackman and they had Christopher Reeve. They had everybody in there. And I'm watching this, and all I'm thinking is, it's almost as if they called all these actors back together and said, hey, guys, we want to make another Superman movie, but we really don't know what to make it about. So just everybody get out there and say a few things, and we'll roll it, and we'll call it Superman 4. I mean,
I really didn't think Nuclear Man was that much needed in that film. They should have just left it Lex Luthor and Superman feuding again.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was, and even Hackman, for the guy that he is, I mean, Hackman is fantastic. And
yeah,
he sucked. I mean,
yeah,
you know, you look at Christopher Reeve in that movie, and he almost has this look about him like, am I really doing this? You know, somebody shoot me.
Yes.
Well, put it this way, he has the same look on his face that I have on my face when I'm at work, you know?
Well, you know what? It's really interesting. I told you guys about Mandela effect, about how time streams are different. I never knew there was a Superman 4.
Oh, now you know what you have to do.
Hello.
You have to go watch it. You have to suffer like the rest of us.
I thought they stopped at Superman 3 because Richard Pryor was...
Well, he damn sure should have.
Good Lord.
If there was any justice in the world, they would have.
Well,
yeah, it was awful.
Okay. Well,
absolutely awful.
Okay. Superman 3 and 4 for you. Into the Woods for Bobby Strode. I will have to say, oh, dear Lord, forgive me, but the most unintentionally funny, absolutely awful movie ever made was The Attack of the She-Monster starring Conrad Brooks.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It was filmed on a video on a video camera, and he kept reading Latin spells. Whenever something got ready to happen, he would try to put it off by reading Latin. And Conrad, I know you tried. You couldn't talk Latin. You couldn't speak Latin. And it was like one of us trying to read it. We don't know how to read it. It was oh my goodness. It was like unbelievable, but it was popular. The old guy had it. In fact, I have his personal copy that he autographed to me. It is priceless in more ways than one now. But, yep, starring Conrad Brooks, Attack of the She-Monster. Just something just unbelievable. And then I will say, as a close runner-up, the entire film of Glenn or Glenda, I Changed My Sex, starring Ed Wood. I've never seen anything like it, nor will anything ever be made like it. And if you haven't seen it, don't necessarily have to watch it. Just go to Wikipedia, check out the plot, and you'll understand why you probably don't need to watch it. But the whole thing was just unbelievable. Now, do you guys remember a movie called Society? Do we remember
what was it again?
A movie called Society? It's a strange film about the upper class in the world actually being monsters. And what they do is...
Oh, no, I haven't seen that.
And then they eat members of the lower class. They invite them to a party and tell them they're going to raise them up to high society. And what they do is they end up just grabbing their flesh and starting to eat it. Now, it is a really... You know what? As cheap as it was, it's a spectacular little film. And it's just haunting. I mean... Papa Stroh, you know, it's a lot like the great Roddy Piper film. What is it? They Live. has that same kind of message to it. It's just really wonderful. And I
they explored that concept in V too, the series about the aliens, and they're just using us for food.
Yeah.
And they were controlling the upper echelon society too, just like they live, and just like the society film you mentioned. Yeah, it's quite a few films have dabbled on that journey. It really makes you think.
Well, no, it doesn't make me think. It scares me. I went past the thinking.
Well, it should that's the point why it's a horror film. It's so scary.
It's a horror film, and you're right. That is the whole point. It scares you, and that's what a good horror film does. Like Roddy Piper, who knew how to affect people in the ring, and all that. It's just an unbelievable little film, and you know what, Papa Stro? We were looking for a double feature for the Krampus Festival. We're going to have the Krampus, the movie. You know, the Roddy Piper film would be a good double feature, wouldn't it?
I don't see why not.
And you could talk a little bit about Roddy, about what you got from the movie. I think that would be really, really kind of fun. So I would be all up for that. So we'll see if we can't make that happen. All right. So what's next, Dave Atwell? It is your turn to name the topic and then Papa Stro. So we'll name a topic. So Dave, what is your topic for all three of us to talk about? We never get to just talk about stuff we like. So Dave, what is your topic for the three of us to discuss?
Oh man. Gosh. Well, okay, since we're on the topic of film and bad movies. Okay, so going back to my Superman thing, where the anticipation was there, what movie were you really like, man, I can't wait to see this flick, and then it came out and you just felt yourself oozing out of the chair because it was such a disappointment? The first one that comes to mind for me is the third Godfather. It was a good film, don't get me wrong, but after watching 1 and 2 and considering that, to me, 1 and 2 are probably two of the greatest films ever made, when they come out with a third one, it was like, yes. And I watched it, and I'm going, no. You know, we've been so much better off just not having one. You know what I mean? It was such a letdown. And, God, it is just painful to watch that movie sometimes. And to back that up, any of the recent DC movies, I mean, for crying out loud, Batman versus Superman and everything, I mean, you're looking at the trailers and you're like, wow, you know, okay, this might have some punch to it. Or Suicide Squad was another one. I'm going, okay, there might be some hope. And then you watch it and you can feel the blood leaving your mind. And, you know, your brain needs oxygen, and you can feel the oxygen and the blood just stopping the flow while you're watching those movies. And you almost go into an actual state of brain dead. And then the credits roll, and then all of a sudden everything comes back to you.
Yep. Well, all right, I'm going to jump in because I've got such a blatant one. And I was the film that I wanted to see more than anything else after we had Pulp Fiction and after we had Kill Bill was Day for Night by Quentin Tarantino. And I'm telling you, the first 40 minutes of that film must be the best 40 minutes of film ever made in the history of filmmaking. When he and his boy picked up those two bank tellers and they were going to rape and torture them. And it was grisly, and it was looking like it might be another The Usual Suspect, which I think The Usual Suspect is one of the best films, one of the best written films I've ever seen, ever. And so, and there they are, and then all of a sudden they get out to that place in the middle of the desert, and you just know it's you can't imagine how horrible it's going to be, but nope, it was a bad vampire film, and so it was just bad. I mean, it was as bad as it got, and I so wanted everybody that went to see it with me. We were dying for, you know, basically the greatest Quentin Tarantino film ever. And, you know, it started out like Reservoir Dogs, and it was just getting better. And then all of a sudden it didn't. It was like the biggest letdown.
Took a nosedive.
It was the worst thing I ever, it was the worst. It was the worst breach of expectation in history. And they didn't show the vampire crap on the preview. Okay, all right, so there's the worst breach of expectation in history. Papa Stroh, what was yours?
Okay. Mine, as in
one you were so ready for, you couldn't wait for it, and then you wished you'd never seen it.
Film?
Yeah.
Well, I think I expressed one of them earlier. Let's see.
Into the Woods.
No, that has to be the top of the list. Oh my God. Let's see. So basically, the film that I was looking forward to, but I was kind of disappointed in, more or less. Let's see. I would have to say, I know it was definitely was a remake. Remakes, they drive me crazy. These remakes, because
it's
the film industry. The film industry does everything they can to crap all over classics and epic films.
And there's so much fresh stuff out there that's good. They just don't do it.
Yes. I mean, God, it's called using your brain, people. I mean, be creative, be different. Leave the classics alone, my God. What was it? Lethal Weapon series. Oh, God. Please.
Yeah.
And you got some. You're gonna have some on there. It's like, oh, we love it. It sucks. I'm sorry. It sucks. You can't compare these guys to Danny Glover and Mel Gibson. I'm sorry.
Oh yeah, the TV series. Yeah.
Yes. There's no comparison. No.
But you know, you make a very valid point. If you look and see what's on, they've got that. They've got Magnum P.I. now, okay? Got Hawaii 5-0. And
without Tom Selleck, oh, my God, they're crazy.
Yeah. And I'm going, guys, you know,
the reason why Game of Thrones or American Horror Story or The Walking Dead is doing so well is because it is something different. Somebody finally got up off of their lazy ass. Yeah.
Yes.
And did something different. Why was MASH such a big success? Because it was something different. You know what I mean? So it definitely bears saying, like Stroh said, out of all the stuff, you know, why do they have to keep going back? I mean, you just cannot. It's kind of like when people do covers of songs. Every now and then somebody will strike gold, you know, and actually do one right. But, you know, let's face it, you know, nobody does Purple Haze like Jimi Hendrix. You know, nobody does Knocking on Heaven or like Dylan. You know, as many people out there that, you know, go back and keep singing the same songs over and over. Oh, well, I'm going to make it mine. No, you're not. Go. If you want to make it yours, go out there and make something yours. But damn, taking the short road and taking something that's already been done. You know what I mean? Take some risks. Go out there and try. Put some thought into it, for God's sake. And quit just, you know, taking the path of least resistance. So, I could go on and on about that. You have a very excellent point when it comes down to that, man. I mean, it's just like,
I've never heard anyone redo Bohemian Rhapsody. They get crazy.
Well, yeah, it's nuts.
I mean, come on, who could sing like Queen these days? Who could sing like Queen these days? Come on, nobody. Nobody. Ain't nobody could touch Queen.
Nah. That's why I'm looking forward to seeing that movie when it comes out, that Queen movie that's coming up.
Yeah.
That looks like it might actually be one of those ones that catches it by surprise, and it turns out to be an excellent film.
Did you know that that one time they were going to have Sacha Cohen play the part of Freddie Mercury?
No, Christ.
But thank God it didn't happen because Queen and Sasha didn't, like, get along.
Yeah.
They didn't see eye to eye on a few things. And they kind of worked out for the best because Sasha probably would have, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You say
been nice,
stuff.
I like. Yeah. Yeah, it's that would not have worked. That would have been a farce.
Yeah, well, you cannot duplicate Freddie Mercury. Except maybe they're one in the same. That's what I think. But I keep listening. It's interesting. I keep listening to Queen every week. It never gets old. Some things get old. It just doesn't. And it's just wonderful that we have those great artists that we can listen to. Just like, you know, they just don't get old. So it's really wonderful. Now, Papa Stroh, what is your question for David and me?
Oh, gosh. I didn't know this was 20, 20 or 60 minutes, but I'll do my best.
Got it.
Okay, what concept are we on? Film, movies, or?
Anything that you wish.
Okay, all right. Just try to make this in a positive note here. What has to be? What is one of the greatest, most brilliant, thought out films that you have seen in your lifetime?
Yeah, when it comes down to just putting it together and everything. To be honest with you, there's a handful of them out there that we could really hang that hat on. I mean, if you look at the brilliance of Star Wars or the Indiana Jones movies and, as we said before, The Godfather, any of those right there. Now, I'll definitely say from the storytelling aspect of it, you definitely got to give The Godfather its parts. But, you know, when you talk about creativity or you want to talk about something that really gets, I mean, for crying out loud, let's look at Austin Powers. You know, It's a silly movie. It's a silly movie, but damned if you won't laugh every time you watch them. And you've seen them a billion times, but they're funny every time. And there's brilliance in comedy. You know what I mean? So it's any of those. Anything that doesn't have Ben Affleck in it would probably be able to fit.
Fantastic.
All right. I'm going to jump in with, you know, I was choice. And as I think about my choice, it gets stronger and stronger with every second. And that is the original Wizard of Oz. From music to the dancing to Judy Garland being the greatest thing that was ever on the film. To the writing and that incredible, and L. Frank Baum's book, The Wizard of Oz, is near perfection. Sure, it's got some crazy, some weird problems that they had making it, but The Wizard of Oz just answers most of our worldly questions about courage, about brains, and about heart. I put a period on that one, I think. I don't think I.
And about throwing a bucket of water on people that are mean to you.
Now I like that.
You know, take this, you old bitty.
Are you a good witch or a bad witch?
Yeah. Let me take this glass of ice water and test this thing out. Splash. Okay, you ain't not melting. You're supposed to be all right. Sorry about
that. What a world. What a world.
See, now, if they were going to redo it, they would have to let the Wicked Witch of the West be played by Megyn Kelly.
Oh, yeah. Ain't that the truth? Rosie O'Donnell. Yeah.
Oh, Megyn Kelly. Megyn Kelly. Poor
yeah,
Meg.
Hillary
you know,
Clinton.
It's funny. That poor old Megyn Kelly, as weird and bad as she could be, she got the axe over something that she apologized
the question
for.
Is,
come on.
The question is, in their own words, would she wear a black face or a white face, being the Wicked Witch?
Oh, gosh. Well, she wore a green face. She wore a green face in the movie, thereby offending all Martians and Grinches and frogs out there.
You know, because that's how she got fired from CNN, because she was talking about Halloween costumes. You remember that not too long ago? Megyn Kelly?
Oh, yeah. Well, gentlemen, I think you may have made some of the most thought-provoking statements in history in the last 90 seconds on that one.
I wonder if she would have said chocolate swirl if that she would have got the same reaction.
I just want to know why everybody gets so jacked out of shape. I mean, just yesterday, Al Roker dressed up like Doc from Back to the Future. Okay? So where is the outrage there?
Yeah.
You know,
what about Hillary Clinton? What did she say about the two candidates, the two politicians?
Yeah.
The other day, she said, oh, you know they all look alike.
Yeah, I mean, is the outrage when it's needed? You know what I mean? So it's, I'm just over it, man.
It's outrage for outrage's sake, and it's no good.
But yet, some are racist and prejudiced, and they haven't said anything. You know? Go figure.
I've just never seen people work themselves so hard at getting mad. My mind, you know, and me, I'm the one walking around trying to stop find stuff that makes me happy, and you know, it's one of those things. I've often wondered why. You ever see people that have I don't know how to put it. You ever see them just taking things for granted, be it money. Or a good example, when you're at the convenience store and a guy will reach for his change and he drops some coins on the ground and goes, I'm good. Because he doesn't feel like bending over and picking them up. I'm going, man, that is money. What are you doing? The same thing with these people who get offended. You're having a perfectly good day. You're in good health. Your family's in good health. You have a home. You've got food to eat. You've got a car to drive. You've got clean water to drink and bathe in. But you've got to find a reason to get pissed. And you go out of your way to keep flipping through channels until you find somebody who farts in a headwind, and then it just ruins your day. And you did it to your damn self. So when you're 38 years old and got an ulcer the size of a tennis ball in your stomach, don't come to me talking about how you did it for yourself, because you're just trying to find a reason to get mad about something. You know, and
it's ridiculous.
You know, for God's sake, you know, get off it, man. Try to find a little bit of happiness. Now, I ain't saying you got to be SpongeBob, Pappy. You got to call a spade a spade. You know, you got to call like you see it. When things are dirt, then you got to say it's dirt. But to go out of your way to pick things apart just so you've got something to grouse about, and take your damn belly hanging somewhere else.
Well,
I'm not hearing it.
Well, here's what I'm here to say. I'm here to say we got 27 seconds left, and as usual, it's been another sterling pop culture stars. I love my co-hosts that made it with me tonight. We'll see you next week. Papa Stro, have a great one at the Grand Strand Comic Con. I'll have lunch with you Saturday. Dave, I'll talk to you real soon. And Cheers.
All right. Good night, gents.
Good night.
Safe travels, bro. I'll talk to you in a bit, buddy.
You too, bro.